Using pre-planned lines on dating apps to start conversation does not work generally for women because we have a sixth sense. We have like a sniff test. We can tell that those lines are maybe lines that you got from a YouTube pickup artist dude, or you even maybe came up with it on your own, but now you've used it for every single girl over and over and over. It's like that saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, or teach a man how to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. Give a man a pre-written line and he'll date for a day. Teach him how to banter and he'll date for a lifetime. Or maybe not a lifetime, because you'll find the one right away and then you'll stop dating and you'll just be married. But you know what I mean. I am Kristen from KristenandChill.com, and I am the banter queen. I teach guys how to charm more than just the socks off of women. And if you're struggling in conversation, if you're getting ghosted, if you're never hearing back, if you're never, ever getting the results that you deserve, hit me up at KristenandChill.com.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Welcome to the Ask Women podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source. I am Kristen Carney, an amazing, beautiful... No, I'm just kidding. Hey, it's Kristen. I'm a comic and wannabe actor. And of course, with me is Marnie, the awesome wing girl and best-selling author.
Yes, I love
hearing
that.
It's got to feel good.
It does feel freaking good. Yeah. It does, especially since so many publishing companies did not want to publish me at first. So I'm like, screw that. I'm doing it on my own. And then... boom, yeah. Bestseller.
Bestseller.
Screw you.
Screw them.
Publishers.
Yeah. Eat it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Haley, best-selling actress.
Yeah, best-selling tons of things on the internet. Check me out. Star names only. No, seriously, do it.
And of course, Mo.
Oh, hi.
The man producer.
Guys, I was just talking about how Mo has so many Twitter followers. It's disgusting me now. I mean, he doesn't have tons. I mean, he's
you've
a
like lapped us, Mo.
But he has a lot. Like how fast he's grown in his Twitter followers.
So I have a I have a little competition I'm starting. So we want to beat Mo in Twitter followers. So follow us at Ask Women Podcast.
You just gave a lot of people the incentive to now follow Mo.
If you want to,
I know.
At Mo Darwich.
No, it's not at Mo Darwich. It's at Deuce Darwich. Okay, so that's where he is. But. But we have on our Twitter, we've gotten a lot of guys tweeting about how they've bought things on Amazon.
They did, but pass. But the contest is over.
I know the contest is over, but it's still okay. They're showing us that they're doing this, which is amazing for us because it helps us stay on the air.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's face it. This business is all about the money.
Well, let's face it.
That's why we're doing
free
this.
Anymore, okay. So when you get on there and you order, it helps us be free for you.
Yeah, these three booties, we got to keep it free for, I don't know. Anyway,
so we got to keep them tight and lifted then so we can sit on these chairs. Properly.
And of course, you'll find the Amazon banner on our Podcast One page. So,
and what is the link for that page?
It is podcastone.com/ask-women.
Bingo.
There's so many like different combinations.
Forwards. No, I think it is forward.
No, it's backslash.
Okay. I never know. That's why
I don't know what backslash or forward slash is.
I always hesitate there because I never know if it's backslash or forward slash. And then I stutter because I'm trying to figure it out. And I should know this age.
You got it.
Yeah. And so should people who are listening. They should know. We don't have to have to repeat that
sentence
again. Just
freaking Google Ask Women and you'll go to.
And then bookmark that shit.
Bookmark it.
So then you can just go in and order straight
Since
from
you probably don't read like real books and don't have real bookmarks, at least have one bookmark and have it on your computer for our page.
Yes. There you go. I like it. Wait, so what are they showing you on Twitter? What are they bought?
So someone, I mean, I can't remember exactly, but there was a tweet. Someone had like, they took a picture of their computer, like a screenshot, and it was the Ask Women like,
why am I not seeing
these? I saw that. That's awesome.
Yeah, they were clicking. You could see their little mouse thing clicking on the Ask Women Amazon banner. And then someone sent a picture of like the items that they bought.
What? I am on that all the time. How do I not see this stuff? Maybe I'm not looking hard enough.
Yeah, you got to.
Well, how about this? We do a contest now and we'll do it for the month of September. The person that said gets the highest amount that spends the most, they could come on the show and all four of us will give them advice.
Ooh, I love that. I like that.
Well, we could have them as
you could even have an alias if you want.
Yeah.
Yes. But this does not take away from the initial contest of we have to beat Mo on Twitter. So no. Don't get too confused with all the contests being thrown at you.
And for all my men out there who want to support me, don't. At Mo Darwich, come on, boys.
At Douche Darwich.
At Douche Bag.
So going to be an account set up.
Who do you really love, guys? Darwich. Who do you? Why are you really here? It's exactly. Ask women.
Is it to listen to Mo? Come on.
Is it for this floppy penis or is it for
floppy?
I don't know.
I like the word floppy.
It's harsh.
It's like elephant ears. I don't know. Not that big, but
it's like a beagle, like a beagle's ears.
Yes. Yes.
It's aww. Me.
You're like nothing but a hound dog.
Who did I show the big black cocks to this morning?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
What did I miss that?
So
what?
I was on Loveline on Sunday and Mike Catherwood, I forget even how it got brought up. He like something about big black cocks. He's like, you want to see some? And I'm surprised I haven't Googled this before. You would think this would be on top of my list for Googling.
Oh, yeah,
but he's like, check these out. Oh my God, they are massive. You know, I'm like, that would be so scary.
You know what's amazing about Mike Catherwood is that when he came on our show, he was such a gentleman and so sweet.
He is a gentleman.
Mr. Deep.
Right, he is. But he is Mr. Deep, but he's also Mr. Shallow, which I love. It's hilarious because when we met him the first time, he was like, I have diarrhea.
Is that really Mr. Shallow or Mr. Gross? Or Mr. like 14-year-old?
Yeah. But I don't know, but I wonder if his diarrhea was as bad as those black
ones. Oh, I just threw up in my mouth.
That's so gross.
These things are, honestly, I got to get off this topic.
I have to say one thing about my penises because I saw a picture in this big book that someone had.
It had to be a big book.
It was tied in a knot.
The big book of penises?
It was tied in a knot.
It was tied
The big book of penises?
Yes,
is this the book?
I think so. Uh-huh.
Wait, really? This is their coffee table book?
Yes, coffee table book.
I don't know about that. I would go for the small book of penises, but I don't know if that's a big one.
It's too scary. I mean, how do you tie it in a knot?
You'd go for the notebook of penises.
The size of the book doesn't matter. Anyway, I want to tell you guys a story of this young man that I was approached by at Starbucks, and I felt like I was doing field work. It was so amazing. I've never really had this happen because I've said before that I don't really get approached often.
You say that, but every week you have a new story about being approached.
Well,
maybe
do.
You're just being more aware of it now.
Well, I think I'm appearing slightly more friendly.
And maybe you're more confident.
Yeah, it's been happening. So I was...
You got to do something about that.
Yeah,
I don't even know you anymore.
We got to knock you down.
You're like smiling lately. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's weird,
especially when you have big gums like I do. I'm better looking when I don't smile. That's a joke my friend tells Molly. She's hilarious. But anyway, so this guy, I was walking to Starbucks, and this kid was tying up his bike to like a phone pole or whatever, and he looked at me, and we made eye contact, but it was so quick. It was like the swiftest thing ever. We made like really brief eye contact. And then he instantly was like, I think you're beautiful. I want your number. And I was like, whoa, okay. First of all, I hadn't had my coffee yet. I was like, can we just hold this for just 2 minutes? I need to get my espresso. And so when he did that, I literally said, hold on a second. Cause I was walking to the garbage can to throw something out. So I just said, can you hold on a second? Like, you're like way too in my face right now. So just give me 1 second. So I like walked over to the garbage can, but then I had to go back his way because I was going into the Starbucks.
Right.
So we kind of, you know, came back together at the door and, so
you couldn't really run away.
We were going into the same place, or as far as I knew, he was maybe not even going to Starbucks.
Right.
But they knew him there once we went in. So, and that didn't work. We always say like, oh, if they know you there, it's attractive. Yeah. They knew him there, but I was like, it's not attractive. It's weird.
He obviously had the coffee.
Stop drinking so much coffee.
Let me ask you, did he read that first look right? Were you initially attracted to him on first glance?
No, he was much younger. He was also foreign. No offense, foreign guys. But no, I wasn't like instantly like enamored. I think he was an attractive kid, but I just wasn't instantly like, oh, me and you.
So what'd you say to him?
You ride a bike and you have a book in your hand. That's like, you know, I was wondering, like, do you have no life at all? You know,
no. He's probably a student.
To be honest, you just looked at him. You probably got nervous, right? And then just looked away.
I didn't really get nervous. I got dread because I basically rolled out of bed. I was in, my pajama pants, essentially. And I had eye makeup on from the night before that was crusted all over my skin, my cheeks, you know?
So you were in your own self-conscious world.
Yeah. I was more like, oh God, you know, I feel really gross. I know I have a big like colic in the back of my hair right now. It just was gross. So anyway, basically the point of the story is that he persisted. And so he followed basically with me in line.
But what did you say to him after he said, you're beautiful? You just like said, okay, bye.
I go, well, so I said, hold on a second. Let me throw this out. Then I came back to go in, and I basically said, I'm Kristen. Nice to meet you. Thank you. I have a boyfriend, but I do host a podcast called Ask Women. And do you listen to it?
This guy was like floppy penis immediately.
Right, right, right.
He's like, wah.
Right. And I said, do you listen to it? Because you're very forward and like, you know, wow.
Obviously, you're taking our advice.
Right.
Great
right.
job.
But you took it a little too far. So he instantly was completely uncomfortable he was never expecting something like that. But he maintained staying in line with me. And I said, listen to the podcast. It'll be on Thursday. I'm going to talk about you.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter.
Way to pimp us out. I love it.
Yeah, you can Google us. And so anyway, his first reaction was, should you take advice on dating from women?
That was
if you're dating women. Or like, you know, he was thinking more, you should take advice from other men.
Did you tell him about Mo?
And of course not. I was like, don't go to douchytwitter.com/Mo or whatever it is. And so anyway, he maintained staying there. And then once I was waiting for my coffee, he still stood there and was, you know, and it was more, I think, a conversation because now he was kind of in it and I was lecturing him more so. So it was very strange for him, but it was so, boom. And I said, what made you be so aggressive and what happened in your life to make this? And he said, a really bad breakup, you know, and I was thinking he would say, I said, how long ago was it? I was thinking he'd say a month ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago. And he was like, oh, 3 years ago. I was like, oh, okay. So you're crazy.
Wow.
So you're crazy. But anyway, he was way too forward, but he was very nice. And I definitely appreciated his effort, but it was too much.
What country was he from?
Pakistan.
Pakistan.
Nothing against the Paks.
I like your hair.
You guys pack of the stand.
So when was it too much though? Because initially
first moment.
But I thought you complimented him. That was like good. He asked for your number.
Because he had the balls to do it.
Because he didn't like know you at all before he asked for your number. Because that'd be weird for me. It's like, how do you even know me? Why do you want to call me?
Right. It's like based off of my look, he liked me. But it was like literally we had
the beautiful Kristen.
Of course. But we made eye contact for like a split second and then it was there. It wasn't like I had a moment to take anything in. So when that happens, you know, you kind of defensify. Like I kind of instantly went like, oh, I don't have my coffee yet. And like, I feel really gross. And now I'm put in this position.
But he didn't, from what you're saying, like you're giving your interpretation of it, right? So I don't know how he actually said it, but you're saying he said, you're beautiful and I want your number.
Yeah.
Like that's how you actually heard it and saw it happening.
Yes. He goes, excuse me, this is going to sound really weird, but you're beautiful and I want your number. It was like the moment we made eye contact. There wasn't like a
swagger or a smile.
Yeah. There wasn't
a moment. Was there an accent too?
A subtle one.
You'll be my wife.
Yeah. I was like, don't hurt me. Don't cut my vagina.
No. Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding.
You'll be great. You'll sleep next to me and my goat. It'll be fantastic.
Hey, I love my cat. You know how I feel about animals. I wouldn't mind sleeping next to a goat.
My goat and your cat will get along great.
I know that's your real voice, by the way, Mo. That's how you actually, as soon as Mo steps out of the studio, that's how he talks.
It's so true, you guys. It's so true.
But anyway, basically,
it was too intense for
you. It was
intense, saying.
But I did like the fact that he was willing to do something like that, you know, especially not getting out of a Jaguar, but hooking up his bike, you know.
Exactly. Well, as he should have equal confidence to the guy with his. Why did he say Jaguar?
Yeah.
Say it again, Jaguar.
Oh, I said Jaguar.
Jaguar.
I'm sorry, I said it like that. I'm such a douche.
Jaguar.
Now my Twitter is douche.com. Well, I said that because I worked for Jaguar a few years ago and it was like Nazi Germany. And they were like, you cannot say Jaguar. If anyone says Jaguar, you're fired. And
what?
So we had to like say it over and over. Like when we got there in the morning, it was the craziest promotional marketing job like I ever did. And they were like, when we got there in the morning, it was like a week long thing. And they were like, everyone say Jaguar like 10 times. And we're
Jaguar.
I'm like,
Jaguar.
I'm like, screw
that was
yourself.
Really good. I like that voice.
Yeah. Oh my God. So this now, job's the worst. You want to kill yourself.
The worst. So it's just ingrained in my brain to say Jaguar. So I just sound like such an asshole.
I thought it was Jaguar. I didn't even know it was whatever you said.
The other
options
really
that you said.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the approaching. Okay.
So
I want you to walk me through the steps of the approach because I think this is a perfect chapter in the man's playbook.
That was good.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
You know what I just realized about that? That he sounds like for that itch. And then he says, we use our fingernails. And it's like, yes, that's how you get an itch, with your fingernails.
I kind of, every time I think about it, I'm like, ew, wait, what? You're itching? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, it's love Pacino. Yeah.
It doesn't pump me up the same way as it does for Mo.
Yeah, oh, I do.
I just love watching his face.
Like childish, not childish, but like glow to him every time he hears it. I love
childish.
It.
I just want to put on a helmet and hit somebody.
I hear you. I get it. Okay, so this chapter in the man's playbook is about how to approach. And based on Kristen's story that she was just talking about, obviously this guy did not do a good job at approaching, mainly because he was too much too soon.
Right.
That's the main message here. But you did admire him for his directness. So what could he have done? Because he was very direct at first, which threw you off and put a barrier up, obviously, right. Even though you were pimping out our podcast afterwards. So there obviously wasn't much of a barrier there.
Shameless.
But what could he have done after that initial approach if he realized it was too intense? How could he have pulled it back a little bit?
First, he could have done an American accent.
Aww.
And I would have been like, oh, hi there.
Yeah.
Hello, Kristen.
No. Really?
No, of course not. Well, I'm kidding. Well, I mean, yeah, maybe, but no, I'm kidding. No. The first thing that I, if he looked at me, because I mean, the moment he looked at me, I knew he was interested. I could see it in his eyes in that like split second. So if he kind of took that moment in, gave it a second, let me walk into the Starbucks, do my thing, get my coffee. And as I'm at the sugar or milk bar, maybe start saying, hey, I just saw you outside. And, I think that would be a better opening because I would be like, oh, yeah, I saw you too.
Warming you up a little
bit. Right, a little
bit. Let's say you walked in and then you snuck at the back and he missed that opportunity. He has no idea how long you're going to be around. You could have gone to the garbage and kept walking the other way. He didn't know you were going into Starbucks.
I was like right at the door pretty much. So, okay. I mean, there was really nowhere else. And like, it's on Lincoln. Like, where am I going to like an auto mechanic place? Like, I'm going to Starbucks.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the difference is him asking for your number right away. Like the first moment.
I want your number.
Like, he can still say hi. I think he can still approach you, but just like dropping that in. It's like, yo, dude, you don't know me.
Yeah.
So. Well, it's like one of the questions that we had a couple of weeks ago where I think that's what he said to her first. And the girl said, I don't even know you.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, okay, sorry. And he like scurried away afterwards. But that's a really good point. Like to ask, I get that like nerves are worked up. You're like, I just want to spit it out of my mouth, which is first of all, amazing that this use this as your practice time. If you are not at that point yet, do what this guy did and just get it out and don't worry about if the girl says yes or no. But as you start to practice, start to slow your pace down. Cause we talk about it all the time when guys approach at a bar and say like, I want to fuck you and then walk away. That's super sexy. So like what Kristen was saying, if he were to smile, look over and then get back to his world, locking up his bike or whatever, and then start to slowly come in and then start chit chat and build a little bit of rapport first. It can be sexy, and flirty rapport, but not asking for the phone number. It's too much.
Doing something like the OSA. Observe, share,
and ask a question. Ask.
Like, I have goats. You have goats?
Right. I have a goat named Roger.
I'm like, I have a goat named
Roger.
I have a goat named Mo.
Yeah.
But something like that, because again, it's like, I don't know if I like you. I don't know you. So why would I want to give you my number? I need to know that there would be some sort of, I mean, besides the fact that I have a boyfriend, you know, there'd have to be some sort of connection, not just the physical. Because I mean, who knows? That I found him as physically attractive as he found me? No. Probably not. You know what I mean? So
right. Well, but you could have. But for women, it takes a lot more
than
for
just
that
physical.
Because who was on the show or when were we talking about this? That men know in the first 15 seconds. For women, it takes about 5 minutes to decide what they want from a man.
I think Adam.
Yes. Okay. Because you're evaluating these people who are presented in front of you. So you need to know, A, are they a rapist? B, are they crazy? C, do they have social value? D, there's a whole bunch of things that you want to know first about this man before you start like hanging.
And the guy's just like, do I want to have sex with her? Is that true? Is that quick?
I think, oh yeah, definitely.
15 seconds?
Yeah, although, not even 15 seconds.
There is this video that's on YouTube. It's on my website as well, winggirlmethod.com, where it is these guys and they just shoot them. And they go up to a girl and they say, give me your number. Give me your number.
I've seen that.
And women just put their number in their phone. They go, why? And he goes, so they asked you. And they'll just do it.
Yeah.
And so for that.
But you know what about that video? I watched that video and it's like, I wonder how many edits there were of women that didn't say yes.
But let's, is it so bad if you get 50% of the women asked?
No, yeah. I'm sure there are. I don't think every man, when he does that, or if a man did that, every woman would say yes. So I,
depending on what age they were, but a lot of the women that they were showing were younger, I would do it.
Yeah, but see, women would say yes now, whether you actually could get them to see you again, that's a whole other bar game, buddy.
Absolutely.
That's a lot more work you got to put in.
Yeah, that's what my blog was about. It's like, great, you have the phone number. But now what?
That's round one. That's
You don't even know her name. So then you're like, what do you do then? You know?
But then you start a conversation afterwards. The whole point of this video was to show like that women admire leadership. Like, where it's not like, oh, hi, my name's Bill. Can I have your phone number? Like this weak man going up to them. But a man who is assertive saying, put your number in my phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, and her saying, okay. And then
the whole scenario would be changed though if you had a flip phone. I'd be like, okay, sure.
Like, how do you use this thing?
Is this hot pink?
I think this guy had a great approach because his initial approach was, well, you're beautiful, because it was from an honest place and he came directly to you with it. But I feel like the middle is where he lacked it. It's like, wow, great introduction. Now, what do we say as men during that middle to fill that middle ground? Because then if you would have filled that middle ground with, say, 5 minutes of banter, 3 minutes of banter, or you could actually get to know this guy and see his personality a minute, you might have said yes at the end when he asked you for his number.
Well, the thing is that what he showed you about his personality was that he was intense, a little bit nervous, and aggressive. And those aren't three good things that women are attracted to. Right. In that video on YouTube, these guys are showing that they don't really care, that they can lead, then they can be direct. And just ask for what they want. And like, they weren't asking, staring the girl down and like being really intense about saying, give me your phone number. They weren't even looking at her and saying, they're like, put your number in my phone. Right. Whereas if like, I don't really care, I'm already leaving.
Right. I think
but
that's
like, okay,
funny.
You can do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different. Yeah, exactly.
I would almost think that they're not being picky enough though. It's like, I want a guy to choose me based on my personality. When he does that, I'm almost like, well, maybe I'm ruining your whole point here, but
no, I want to hear. Think, the whole point is to be honest.
I just think I'd be like, what makes me different than somebody else? Why would you even bother asking me? I want to know that I'm different and that you value that.
Right. But you know? In your early 20s?
I just want to bang. No, I don't know. I mean, I think so still then. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's totally fine. You're maybe the other 50% who said no, mm-hmm. but I watched that video and I was like, I would probably do it. Would I answer the phone the next day? Yeah, probably not. Because I have no clue who he is.
See?
I've heard. But if he gets 100 women and he gets 50 phone numbers and he gets 10 girls who answer and interact with him, and he knows how to do things after the getting the phone number, he knows how to flirt, he knows how to use races, you know, texting techniques, then he can do something.
But then
like
you don't
even
know the girls are reaching out to. I don't know. I think it's just like a wild card. It's definitely a numbers game, obviously. Yeah. But it's like you're just throwing out seeds and seeing which ones.
That's what men are supposed to do. They're supposed to throw out seeds.
Yeah, and then eventually it gets in an egg and that's how shit happens.
Exactly. Anyway, I went a little bit off topic.
That's how we all happen.
But the whole thing is like, the whole thing is that the approach for the man's playbook that I want to talk about is the approach, what he could have done, he could have used OSA for sure. But the intensity and the asking for the number right away and getting up in your grill right away was too much for you, especially pre-coffee.
Right.
So I think the sexier thing to do in that scenario is sort of just like sit back, relax, smile at the girl. And then, you know, as you're going into Starbucks, you can make some sort of joke or something to lighten up the space, and then go into OSA and then ask for the phone number. Once you decide that he wanted your phone number.
Right.
I'm sure he wanted your phone number now after you said, I'm the host of the Ask Women podcast.
He's probably listening.
He is. I told him to listen.
Aww. And he didn't give you his name, right?
No. He was like, I won't give you my name if you're going to talk about on there.
You know,
I was like, well, I assume what would it be if he's from back?
He'd be like, can I have your telegraph information? I will put it in through wire. I'll see you later.
Well, that concludes this week's chapter in the man's playbook. And I feel bad that we did not pump this up more at the beginning of
the
episode.
I forgot to talk about
we totally should have, but we have the best man in the world coming onto our show today. One and only. Yeah, you did it.
I don't even know. But he is the wrestling champ actor.
Of the world.
Of the world. He's just also a total badass. And like, well, seriously, one of the most nicest guys. He is Steve Austin. And he's on our show next.
Yes.
I was so embarrassed when we first met him. I told him, I thought I was the first person ever to think this. I'm like, does anyone ever call you Cold Stone Steve Austin? I was like, because I actually always accidentally do it if I ever have to say Stone Cold Steve Austin. I always go to Cold Stone Steve Austin because I'm way more into ice cream than I am to wrestling.
Ditto. Which makes complete sense.
Right. So it's always in my brain, but I want him to have like a like ice cream flavor.
Oh, he totally should.
He needs an ice cream flavor.
I mean, his podcast is like the number one on our network, so he should have his own ice cream.
Yeah,
that man should have his own ice cream.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But we met him probably 3 months ago because he records for Podcast One as well, which is a network that we're on. And we have been stalking him ever since to be on our show. And Mo is on his show as well, which is why he's getting all of his followers on Twitter.
They call me Gimme Mo.
No, they don't. I love it.
Oh, it should be Gimme Less.
Oh, you little minx.
Well, coming up next, we have the amazing Steve Austin in studio with us. He is fantastic. He's wonderful. He's answering your questions for Analyze This. And he's telling us all about what he has learned about women from his 4 marriages that he's had. That is coming up next. See you in a bit.
If you love betting on sports, then BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Right now, baseball season is in full swing. You can hear the crack of the bat, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine are there. So BetOnline has you covered for news, scores, odds. It's the best way to place your bet. And guess what? It's free to sign up. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and take advantage of the 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So don't sit on those sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it.
Life can be hard. Life can be daunting. You could be struggling with mental health issues. You could be struggling with loneliness. You could be struggling with grief. You could be struggling with adjusting to life post-COVID. If you are, there's help. You don't have to do it alone. And if you're like a lot of people and a lot of men, you probably think, I can handle it. It'll be fine. I'll get through it on my own. But if you actually seek help, you'll find out, whoa, I actually really couldn't do that on my own, and support is necessary. So if you're struggling, talk to someone, and BetterHelp is here to talk to you. I want you to start living a happier life today. So as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/askwomen. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/askwomen.
Welcome back to the Ask Women podcast. We are so excited today to have wrestling legend with us, the Stone Cold Steve Austin. Welcome, Steve.
Welcome.
Hey, what's happening?
Wow.
We are so excited to have you here. We've been pumped up about this for so long.
We've been talking about it.
You know what's so funny about you is that, like, you're so not intimidating. I mean, you're intimidating, but you're not intimidating. No, because you're so nice. It's so funny. It's like, you know, you have the image, but then I'm like, no. He's like super.
We just blew his cover. Now he hates us.
No, but I get that all the time. People always think I'm going to be mad or drunk or mean or whatever. So thank you for having me on the show. And thank you for recognizing that.
Yeah. I mean, the camouflage does intimidate me a little bit.
It is intimidating.
Ask Mo. I wear this stuff almost every single day. And I have about 5 of these, but I'm.
Are you rotating through them?
Really? Yeah. What are you hiding from? Why?
I'm not hiding from ex-wives or anything like that. I'm me too. No, I'm not hiding from anything. Camo for a guy wearing camo, I eat a lot of stuff on my diet. And if I spill anything on my shirt, you cannot see it. So it
that
works for me.
Smart. That's a really good point. I could use that.
Yeah,
I'm known for spilling.
I'm big into hygiene, so don't get me wrong. I'm taking my showers, doing all that. I'm wearing clean stuff. But if I drop some food on it, it's easily concealed.
Right. I'm a coffee drinker, so that would definitely blend in.
Right. Don't wear white.
Right.
A nice man and a smart man, too. Wrong. The full package. Fantastic.
I don't know how smart, but we can get to that later.
You mentioned before when we met that first time, you mentioned that your favorite guns are the Remington Arms guns. And that's where I'm from. That's my town.
Yeah.
So what about Remington guns? I'm just curious. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting that you would bring that question up.
That is interesting that you would bring that up.
Let's talk about guns.
He's like, I happen to have a gun in my pocket right now.
I don't know why I haven't done the Ask Women show sooner. I'm glad I'm here. No, just growing up hunting with my dad down here in South Texas, he shot Remington. You know, Remington 870 shotgun is what we all started off on. And as far as our deer rifles, the Model 700. Love the trigger. And once you get used to something, you know, that's what you're used to. Mm-hmm. And it's high quality, out of the box, you know, the most accurate guns that there is. You know, great quality stuff for the working man at an affordable price.
Right. Oh, that's amazing.
Get them as our sponsor for this episode.
Come on, Remington.
Well, it's funny. It's funny because my lineage, you know, my grandpa's grandpa, whatever, they all worked at Remington Arms.
Oh.
But I know it's in my town. Like, that's what my town is made from. We wouldn't exist unless that was there. But I know nothing about guns at all. And I like
how
I, literally I know
teach it in your school.
And it's weird because we live, you know, our school's next door to a gun store and no one ever shot up the school. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it was back in the day when people had common sense. Yeah. Nobody has any common sense anymore.
Right. That is very true.
It ain't about the guns. It's about a little common sense.
Let me ask you something, Steve. Do you ever take a girl when you're single? Would you take a girl on a date to a shooting range? Would you recommend that? Because I've done it and I think women find shooting guns very exciting.
I get turned on by it.
Yeah.
It's like the power thing, you know? It's like you feel like you're in control and you have a man kind of guiding you and you're like, show me how to do this. I mean, I'm into it.
I've never been.
You know, the kick, the horsepower, it is kind of an adrenaline rush. You know, I never thought about it. I certainly want to take it with the ex-wives to the shooting range. Never thought about it to answer your question on a first date. I want to get to know that person a little bit. Get a little psych eval.
Yeah, exactly. Before you're taking them with a gun somewhere. Well, actually, I do want to talk about you and dating and your past with women, if you're comfortable talking about that.
Absolutely. I'm down with it.
So awesome. So maybe let's go into some questions about what your first date spots were when you were single, like some of your favorite places to take women.
Back then.
Man, back in, you know, before I had my car, you know, the old track field there in Edna, Texas, you know, just hanging around the track, walk a few laps. There's a little stadium, some steps over there. Kind of just, there wasn't too many people out there, but it wasn't any kind of like a public place. We're just kind of like homebodies.
Really? So you just walked around and
stroll around the track is all they needed?
Yeah, stroll around the track. And I grew up in a town of 5,000 people. So, you know, when we're sitting here in Los Angeles, there's people galore. It's a little bit different setting. But this is where it started.
Interesting. Wow. Well, so you have been married 3 times, right?
Currently married for the 4th and last time.
So 4th time. Yes, wonderful. So the first time that we met you, you were telling us a little bit about what you had learned from those previous marriages that are really helping you in your current marriage. And we would like to hear about that.
Well, I mean, it wasn't probably, you know, the experiences. And probably those first 3 marriages, I wasn't really ready to be married, quite honestly.
Really?
And,
really? I mean, I'm not.
No,
well,
what changed for you?
Well, I guess I just finally got old enough to realize and been with this one person. I've been with my wife now for 10 years, almost 10 years. We've been married going on 3 years, and she's a special education teacher. And I think, you know, she has 2 degrees. She's highly intelligent, high level of integrity, very high work ethic.
What's she doing
with
you?
Very honest. I know. She brings out the best in me, and that's why I'm still with her to answer your question. And I think, you know, maybe her background helps her understand a guy like me. And communication, as I was telling you guys last time I talked to you a month or two or three ago, The communication was the key for me with this woman. Her name is Kristen.
Oh, hi.
And with, there's just no way to sweep anything under the carpet and, you know, kind of address it as a half issue. We discuss everything in full, get it out of the way. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's an understanding, and we are on the same page. And she helps me do that the best. She helps me communicate, and that's what I needed.
So before were you not communicating?
Communicating, but you know, I mean, I was on the road and I, you know, quite, you know, frankly, in the entertainment business, I came from the world of professional wrestling and I'm a guy. Like I tell them, guys are stupid. I want to have my cake and eat it too. I did back then. You cannot do that. If you're in a committed monogamous relationship, you know, I was, you know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Right.
And, you know, I got that out of my system, met the right person, and that part of my life is over. I'm happy about that, believe it or not.
But that's wonderful.
So what's like a perfect date night for you and your wife now? What are you guys into?
Interesting. We're homebodies. Live in Marina Del Rey on West Side. We're a bunch of West Side people gathered at this table in Los Angeles.
Except Mo's from like Armenia or something.
He used to be on the West Side.
I'm an ex-West Sider. I'll be back eventually. My girl's a Hollywood girl right now, which makes me a Hollywood boy.
You are.
That's okay. You can do that. Now, you know, there's a little sushi spot we go to. You know, Los Angeles is a big ass city.
Yeah.
And some of the greatest restaurants in the world right here. You can have a culinary experience that blow your mind. But the problem is, we just went out and ate with Norm Pattiz the other day, the podcast one.
Oh, yeah.
King. King. Yeah, exactly.
And we met him in Hollywood at what's called Mr. Chow's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a pain in the ass to get there.
Yeah, now, we had a great
time. Yeah, we had a great time. But, you know, we left early to get there to make the, you know, on time. I'm a time fanatic. I can't be late. We had a wonderful dinner with Norm and Mary and met some big wigs in the industry, but it was a pain in the ass. Yeah. So everything that we do is in that Marina Venice area so that we don't have to drive too far.
My wife
loves to cook. So, I mean, she loves that. I mean, that's her passion. So, you know, I'm just kind of a match made in heaven.
Did you wear your camouflage tuxedo to dinner?
No, it was hard because, you know, I wore a pair of jeans. And, you know, I like to wear shorts everywhere I go, yeah. But I dressed up for Norm and Mary, and we were going to a highfalutin place. So I had to make sure I had my bases covered and represent, you know, the Steve Austin Show brand and podcast1.com properly. So I got gussied up and wore a long sleeve shirt, untucked, of course.
Oh, I like it. I wanted to ask more about the communicating because I work with a lot of men all over the world. And, you know, I always talk about communication and work. And it's really simple to say those words, but a lot of people don't actually know what it means. What does it mean to communicate? And so I wanted to talk to you, maybe if you could provide an example, it doesn't have to be an intimate one, but about communication and what that would look like for somebody.
Now, I don't know if I really know how to answer that. I just know that when I talk, if I had, let's going back a few years, something, what's the best way to explain?
It's hard to explain to other people.
It is.
Yeah.
I guess the best way I could put it, if there's an issue, we just discuss it from top to bottom and make sure that there's no misunderstanding. It's a very clear understanding. We're on the same page and everything's cool. And you know, back when I met her in a little bit of my wilder days. We had to have that come to Jesus meeting. And so things along that line of discussion. And now, you know, obviously on the same page, but stuff about that.
You know. Okay. Do you have any, you know, because you do a lot of, like you said, you're like a dude or a man. Did you have issues getting women interested in things that you were also interested in? Or did you already come together because of those interests?
You know, it's interesting. When I met my wife now, we were training at the World Gym on the corner of Lincoln and Washington back in the day. Joe Gold used to run a gym. Talked to Joe every day. It was a great gym.
Amazing gym. Everybody went to Gold's.
So this was, you know, kind of a little bit looser atmosphere, and it was cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, my buddy Dan ran the front desk there. And anyway, my wife's teaching special education at John Adams Middle School at the time. And one of her kids had brought a WWE calendar, you know, put on the wall. And my month came up. My wife's not a wrestling fan. She didn't watch no wrestling. And sure enough, she saw him in the gym, and she knew Dan, my buddy. And she said, "Hey, Dan, is that guy that is the wrestler, Stone Cold?" And she said, "Yeah." And she said, "Do you think he would come to my class and read to my kids?" I said, "I don't know. Ask him." So anyway, she asked me and I started talking to her. We had a lot in common. Before I went and read to the kids, we started talking music. She's a big metalhead. She loves Stevie Ray Vaughan. So do I.
Oh, wow.
So we had many common interests. She's a dog person. She drove a truck. You know, I drove a truck. I love dogs. So we had a lot in common before we got started.
She's not from LA originally.
She's born and raised in LA.
No way. Yeah. Some of those LA people are the best
people.
Good
people.
It's all the people that come in.
You
know
what? You're right.
Like,
that's what I was saying. Yeah. Come in, give it the cuckoo factor.
Yeah, the LA people are awesome. Well, actually, okay, so let's talk more about that. So the first time that you were interacting with your wife, or, you know, when she wasn't your wife, so were you attracted to her right away?
Yeah, I was. I was attracted to her just initially, just looking, you know, with the eyes, yes. And then in talking to her with the brain and, you know, on the mental wavelength, because we had so much in common.
Did that make you nervous when you were talking to her?
No, because I was digging her, you know?
Okay. Well, because a lot of guys, when they do like somebody, they're like, oh, I can talk to everybody. As soon as there's a girl that I find attractive or I'm interested in, I have no idea what to say. So you obviously had no problems talking to women that you're attracted to.
Oh, no, because I had my sights set on things in the future. So, activity.
Did I get nervous or back down?
No, I was very interested in this young lady.
Okay. Can you walk us through that process a little bit? Because as I just said, a lot of guys get totally psyched out. So have you always been like that when talking with women you're attracted to? You just think about the goal of the future or what you want in the future rather than thinking about how you could possibly be rejected?
Like, did the confidence come from the career or...
Maybe the confidence did come from the career, because as a kid, I was a very shy kid. It was very quiet growing up. And, you know, I turned to athletics maybe as a way to express myself and be worthy. I was a shy kid. And, you know, that first girlfriend I had, we lasted for 10 years, high school sweethearts. Wow. And then, you know, went through college. And she was about 2 or 3 years older than me. And then I ended up getting a wrestling business. And that marriage quickly dissolved right after it happened. Basically, it was annulled.
Do you use wrestling moves in the bedroom?
No wrestling. a bear hug.
Damn.
You
know,
that's about it. No wrestling moves in the bedroom. I do not recommend that.
That can be very painful. Wait, I'd love to hear more about what you were saying. So you were shy when you were younger. You gained confidence from sports. And then, you know, once you had separated from your first wife, did that confidence continue with women?
No, not really. I don't know how to explain it. I was the guy that, you know, it seems to be. I mean, women were attracted to me. I didn't have to go out of my way to meet women. It just kind of happened. And so there was that comfort level. And I'm not sitting here trying to say I'm Rico Suave. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to pursue. Or, you know, it was kind of Mo, you're trying to kick in here. Go ahead and save me.
Women pursue you, right? Because I feel with some of our high-profile guys, too, that had some success in an open form, yours being wrestling, there were women, you know, that would actively pursue you guys, and your job was really just to weed out the wackos from the good ones.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They all have to be semi-wacko, though.
Yeah, semi-wacko from wacko. There's a thin line there. But as far as the relationships went, and it seemed like I kind of just went from marriage to marriage to marriage, and so it didn't... Well, I guess I was.
Did you find that you were always attracted to strong women in your life, or is that kind of been your thing, or do you not really have a type? It was kind of been all over the place.
I think it was all over the place. I think that was the problem. Yeah. And I think I was all over the place.
Once one marriage ended, what made you want to do another one? Were you not, it wasn't that horrible of an experience that you weren't running away from it?
You know, in one or two of them, I think it was more on their end than my end. You know, quite frankly, but you know, I'm a guy. Guys are stupid.
But you still wanted that.
You're like, all right, I'll do it if you want.
Yeah,
like, that's
kinda,
how it worked.
It really was kind of like that. And then, of course, a couple I jumped into freely, head first, like an idiot. And then the last one, you know, with my wife now, Kristen, you know, we've been together 10 years and got married about 3 years ago. That was one of those kind of deals where she had never been married before. And so, you know, I'm 48. She's a year younger than me.
And a pro in marriage, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a pro.
Yeah.
Semi-pro, because it didn't really work. Nobody could pay for it. I lost money being married.
That's true.
But with my wife, you know, it was kind of like she was at a point. We'd been together almost 10 years. Well, at that time, the 7-year mark. And as y'all know, whatever age you are, my wife was 1 year younger than myself. So never been married. Hey, that clock is ticking.
Yeah.
You know, she knows the older she gets, the less chances or whatever, her dream's coming true.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things where I did not want to get married, but it was kind of like, I've got to this time. This is the right person because I'm not going to find a better human being than this. And my wife truly is my soulmate. And I can easily and honestly say that. And,
you know, I love that.
I feel like you've done it right. I feel a lot of these younger kids who are in their 20s feel like it's they need to get married. So the first serious relationship they have, they're married after a year or two.
Yeah.
You've been with your wife. You were with your wife, what, 6-7 years before you got married?
Yeah. And, you know, but the one before that, 10 years. Yeah. And then when I got married, I was only 24. That was still too soon.
Well, you started young.
Seemingly, I didn't really think that was so much my idea. Then I got to the game that I did, and then things went off the rails. Hmm. But yeah, man, I wouldn't recommend anybody getting married too damn early.
No.
Well, let me ask you guys that, though. So then, okay, are y'all married?
I got engaged, actually.
Can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 30.
30?
I'm married.
Married?
And I'm 32.
In a relationship, 30.
When did you get married?
I got married 3 years ago, and I've been with my husband for 10.
Oh, okay.
So same as you.
So but y'all are the experts. Would y'all recommend to any young guy or gal to get married at the 24 or younger mark?
I think you change, you know? Never. It's like who I was when I was 24 was a lot more of a wild card than I am now. I mean, I've just changed a lot. So
also so archaic. You know, it just seems like something that's not necessary anymore. You know, lifestyles have changed. Women can provide for themselves. You know, a lot of people got married back in the 50s and
gender roles are changing
for survival, you know? So I think things have just changed. But if you're from a small, you know, an area where that's commonplace, then yeah, you know, whatever, like that's what you're going to do. But overall, no, I would never recommend it.
I think if women allowed men to have one hall pass a year, a lot more.
And vice versa. Can I tell you something really interesting?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on.
No.
Highway streets, Mo?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing.
That's bullshit.
I know.
And when I met my husband, I was 23 years old. And all throughout my 20s, we would talk about, you know, possible threesomes, like all these things in our sexual escapades in our mind that we would possibly do. And I would always say, I wouldn't want to do those things because I couldn't confidently handle them. In my mind, I want to do them, but I wouldn't be able to handle the repercussions afterwards, which would be horrible for my husband because he would know that would happen. And so as I'm getting into my 30s, I'm noticing that I am more sexual and I can separate emotion from sex. At least in my mind, I still can, but I feel much more confident about being able to do those things. So back to the hall pass. If the hall pass is available to men, I think it should be available to women as well.
And she just gave you the bottom line.
Absolutely.
With that being said, Mo, with your gal, you're going to give her that hall pass?
No.
Just the
because you couldn't handle it?
It's so funny. I had a dream this morning about my wife telling me she was
my wife. Secrets out.
My girl, she might as well be my wife. But
I was talking about that
for long enough.
We should tell her about your wife because I think actually
she might want to know.
Keep going. What happened?
Listen. Well, I had this dream where she was telling me I was with this man and the sex was amazing, but it was before us. And just her telling me that she was with another guy and the sex was amazing, my fucking blood was boiling.
Really?
And I wake up and she's like cuddling on me like nothing's going on. I'm thinking like, you fucking bitch.
You cheated on me.
There were probably so many head veins showing at that moment.
I was so pissed off and I realized right away I am not cool with any of that shit.
It is crazy how you can be jealous of possible scenarios. Like just of like words coming out of your partner's mouth. It is kind of crazy. I've had that with dreams too. I'm like, I hate you. You left me in our dream. He's like, I'm right here. What are you talking about?
Easy.
I think I'm a different style chick because I'm totally cool with the hall pass. Not the movie, but the movie was horrible.
Oh, you mean
but
the girl shitting in the bathtub in the movie?
I didn't actually see it. I'm just assuming. Yeah. But no, I am very cool with it because I know personally, I'm not a very sexual person at all. I think I'm like uncomfortable with it and I would rather like just like lay with my cat. Honestly, and I've said that before. I'm not. And I know my boyfriend is. So, you know, if that's what it is, that's what it is. And I know we had John Sally in here before who is very open to that kind of stuff. And for me to even say it, you know, a year ago, I would have felt so uncomfortable. But from doing this podcast, I've gotten a little validation that that's normal. Right. And I've told my boyfriend, like, go for it. But he's way too much of a pussy. Like, he would never do it.
Well,
he doesn't have any game. So
that
never
is
happened.
The best way to get them to do it. Like, just be like, go for it. Do it.
Because
it's
the only girl.
You think he would feel guilty? Even though you're saying, hey, it's cool if you wouldn't
do
it?
Oh, of course he would feel guilty.
I think so
he
too.
Wouldn't be able to get a hard on or something. You know, he would be too nervous. So it would never happen.
It was hard for you to say hard on.
Would you really be cool with it?
Yeah, I think I would, because I know what I do to him in terms of nothing. Like, I do nothing to him.
Sexual frustration.
It would take the pressure off of you for, like, providing that sex,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, I know we're going to get to a question at some point soon, but sometimes, you know, it's like, if I know it's, like, going to be requested, maybe I'll, like, not go to bed right that time because I got stuff to do on the computer. And not that he's not willing to do it on the computer, but just saying, you know, I feel guilty. So it would be something that I feel like I would give him. Not like all the time. It'd be creepy.
I just think I have to be
like
there.
Every week. You're like, just get out of here. Like, yeah.
If you're going to have a hall pass, at least invite me. Like, don't just do that separately, no. You know? Like, yeah. That would be creepy
would
for
be
me.
That's my worst nightmare.
I mean, no, that's for me, to be honest with you. It's like, I would be really creeped out about thinking of him going off and then coming back. I'm like, what happened? What did I miss? Like, yeah.
I would be like,
be there.
You would be comfortable watching?
Yeah.
I would be like,
really? Really? Just sitting in the corner and watching. I just want to see what you're doing.
In the corner. Don't put me in the corner.
Yeah,
maybe in a comfortable.
Can
you
imagine Haley just like sitting there with her arms crossed? You don't do that with me.
I would be cheering him on. I'd be like, yeah.
Get in there. Yeah.
So this is going to be a really punny question. But what's more challenging? The wrestling ring or the wedding ring?
Oh, damn.
I didn't plan that.
That was good.
The show, but...
I like it.
The wrestling ring. Well, from what standpoint?
Like, what's more difficult in general? And what's caused maybe more distress in your life? Or what's harder to learn? Is it harder to learn to be a professional wrestler? Or is it harder to learn how to deal with a woman every day of your life?
I guess, obviously, it was hard to learn how to deal with a woman because
right.
I got three divorces.
I would assume that
and
would
certainly
be the answer.
Being on the road in the ring has its trials and tribulations and right. levels of stress and highs and lows and everything goes with it. But, you know, totally two different ball games. I would like to think that I'm doing pretty damn good now as far as what I've learned about the wedding game and staying yeah. married and being happily married. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of like that southern stuff, like manners? I know like the South yeah. is kind of, you know, I don't know
I
much
can sense
about,
it
obviously,
about you
but,
too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yeah. That kind of stuff, opening doors, that whole nine yards. Yeah, yeah. Not crazy to the you know the extreme, but certainly right. courtesy, etiquette, respect.
Right, I love that. I have one last question. Then we're going to go into analyze this. So analyze this is where we answer questions from people who listen to the podcast, and we would love for you to stick around to answer questions.
Can I say one thing yeah, along yeah. those lines, though? But you know, some women here in Los Angeles, I'll be at a retail store or something like that. And I'll say, well, yes, ma'am. And you know, if you talk to some of these ladies long enough, they'll say, would you not say ma'am? It makes me feel old.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
you know, that's just what my mom and my dad told us to say. And people out here feel old by it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just say.
I do.
Just say yes.
But I mean it as respect.
Oh, right. Of course, yeah.
Just say it as like, yes, bitch, because it'll actually make them feel much younger. That's yeah. like a very youthful thing to say.
Okay, I'm going to say I learned it here on Ask Women.
I was down at the U.S. Open, and there's so many young kids down there, and this one guy was like rollerblading or something, which I haven't done in 20 years, but he rollerbladed by me and almost bumped into me. He goes, oh, sorry, ma'am. And I almost started crying. My husband came up like, why do I look so old down here? I went home, did my makeup. I felt so horrible. But the question I was going to ask was about being on the road and how like, because a lot of people are asking about long distance relationships. So did you find that difficult to be connected to any of your wives that you were with during that time because you had so much distance between you?
Hey, man, it's not truly a long-distance relationship. But to me, a long-distance relationship, if someone lives in, the guy lives in Los Angeles, the female lives True. In New York, mm-hmm. okay, they're trying to make things work. That's, True. To me, long-distance. And traveling is a whole different ballgame. But certainly with the traveling and the temptations in the form of other women on the road, mixed with alcohol and all kinds of other stuff leads
For sure.
to some disastrous situations. So being on the road is hard. We were just talking to Jay Moore a couple of days ago. And, you know, quite frankly, we were talking about, because he's very happily married right now. He's a monogamous yeah. relationship with a wonderful young lady. He's married to Nikki Cox.
You hear him on his podcast all the time. And I heard him. He loves his wife so much.
Absolutely.
And he adores her.
That's what he said. He said, yeah. "My, you know,
so
people
hot.
Act like marriage isn't a choice. But he said, my wife was my choice. And what he does now on the road is he will literally do a show and then he goes to the hotel and sleeps.
Yeah.
So he jerks off.
I love his style.
Or both.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. I mean, quite
a bit.
Well, that's what I was, you know. something's got to happen.
Yeah. For our male listeners out there who are
I get it.
Yeah, for our male listeners out there who are thinking about cheating on their girl or something like that, jerk off first. And then after you're done jerking off, if you still want to cheat on your girl, then go ahead and cheat on her.
Oh, that's a good tip.
But we don't condone cheating here.
Well, we don't condone it, but look, if you could,
it's a good test.
If you can blow your load and still want to cheat on your woman, then
the wrong woman.
Mo, that's probably the worst advice I've heard.
Yeah.
Any human being utter in the last couple of months.
I love that you are calling him
ridiculous.
Out.
Mo's like, masturbate and then wait like 2 minutes. But if you wait,
see if you still want it. If you do, get out of your hotel
15
room.
Minutes.
Worst advice ever, guys. Don't listen to that.
All right. So we're going to go into our questions. So for the guys that are listening, we have analyzed this, as you know. But if you want to write in questions, write into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. And here is our first question. Hello, ladies and man producer. I love that he doesn't call him Mo, but the man producer.
Wow.
This is a little bit of a long one, but it's actually a really good question. Oh. My wife and I have been married for 7 years and we have 2 kids. We love each other and are still attracted to each other, but we don't have sex. I feel like we have become a total cliche, get married, have kids, and no more sex. I want to do something about this, of course, because it's not healthy for the relationship. Since having our second child, my wife has zero libido. And when we talk about it, she says she is struggling with the role as a mom and as a wife who has sex with her husband. Right now, she's completely focused on being a mom. I get that, but I can't help but feel neglected. We do go on dates and I try to do romantic gestures, but they don't really change things in the long run. When I try to initiate sex and make it all about her, she is not interested, which makes me feel rejected. To compound the issue, my wife is in the habit of staying up very late, sometimes until 4 a.m. So we never go to bed together, which makes it pretty hard to have sex. So we are rarely in the bed at the same time together for very long. She says she stays up late to get cleaning done and have time to herself since she takes care of the kids during the day. I get the idea of wanting your own free time, but not 7 days a week. I think it's become a selfish habit at this point. And of course, she's tired the next week because of the lack of sleep. I think it's time for some marriage counseling. What do you think is going on and how can we break these cycles and stop being a cliche? This is from Matt.
Oh, Matt.
And Steve, I would love to hear what you have to say about this.
Man, right off the bat, it just doesn't sound like the young lady is interested in her husband anymore. Surface.
Yeah.
Well, I know that
my knee jerk reaction is she's not digging him.
Yeah. He says we're still attracted to each other, but he's speaking from his point of view. You know,
but he is because he's like eager to have sex with her. He's in his zone of attraction.
Still attracted to her, but he doesn't know about
her. But it sounds like that she's really distracted. I know some of my friends who are moms now and it's like their priorities totally shift. I think that he should like find a way to like go on vacation and like rekindle that flame without the kids. Sounds like she's super stressed out.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think she's going to be thinking about the kids.
I think she needs to let go if that's going to work out. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I just give the kids up for adoption.
Yeah, there's always that.
Yes, problem solved. No, but I think what he was asking about going to counseling, I think that is the best thing. To have the two of you in the room with a third person present. Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of therapy. My husband and I go to therapy. We actually went to therapy before we got married as well. Mm-hmm. And it's been the thing that has helped our relationship thrive and survive.
And sometimes you've got to have that therapist there, that third wheel to help you fully flesh out the issues at hand and get to the bottom of things. Because sometimes, and this relationship between the man and wife, you can sit there and talk about it, but things are going to be left unsaid or under the carpet. They're not all the bases are going to be covered. So, you know, you can talk about it as much as you want, but I agree with your point. Therapy is a must.
Yeah. And I think even for her, because I think, listen, I'm not a mother, so I have no idea, but I can see from what my friends go through, there is a whole shift in who you are when you become a mother and they have 2 kids. So you get into this role of being the wife or being the mother and you're not the sexy, attractive female anymore. So that whole dynamic gets thrown a lot. And as much as this man can work really hard at planning a date night, it is really difficult for him to help her refine her feminism. It's not up to him to give that to her. So I would actually suggest having his wife go to therapy as well. And while she's doing therapy, he babysits the kids, has them out of the house, and then allows her an hour free for herself after the therapy session.
Yeah, I'm totally down with that. But and it's not always about the date night. It's not about this presentation. No. It's got to be that connection.
Yeah.
And that's not going through a ritual or a process. you know, you either have that chemistry or you don't, or you need to refine that chemistry. So, you know, it's not all about the date night.
Right. And he mentions trying not to be a cliche. And that is a pretty big cliche. Just having that date night. It's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, try like, you know, waking up in the morning and pinching her ass and sending her a flirty text and getting her riled up during the day and feeling sexy and feminine. And that can help. But even more so, start with the therapy to show that you are actively trying to help out with your marriage and with helping her mentally.
And she definitely, I would say, has walls up.
Yeah.
And when the walls are up, you don't feel free. You don't feel, you know, uninhibited enough to like go for it with your, with whoever's, you know, you're with. But if you go to therapy and you have that, you can get everything out there. Those walls start coming down. You start to loosen up a little bit. And the next thing you know, you start feeling things again.
Yeah.
You know,
it's physically. Totally true. Because when I don't see my therapist, I sound like such a therapy person now, but I get really trapped in my head. Even if my husband is super wonderful and we do communicate, sometimes he gets trapped in his head too. So if we're both in that space, it just distances us because we're not present when we're with each other. And it's hard to refine that spark. So going to a therapist, like emotionally dumping on them and just, you know, having that release there really helps me a lot. And that makes me more present and happy with my husband, to be honest.
Also, she's staying up till 4 a.m. to clean the house. Yo, Matt,
get a cleaning lady.
Porn for women is like a clean house. When I come home and it's clean, I'm just like ready to go.
Cleaning lady time. Hire a cleaning lady.
And listen, my man, you got to step in and do something now because right now you're in a routine and 5-6 years could pass by and you're going to be miserable and you'll lose 5-6 years of your life. So if you're what, you know, you need to give your wife an ultimatum here and tell her, look, we need to go to therapy. This is happening. I'm booking it. If she fights it, then you got to tell her the bottom line is I'm not living my life the next 10 years like this.
Yeah.
So we need to do something or else we got to look at alternatives first.
And that alone is super sexy.
Plus, like I love therapy because I love talking about myself. And it's just like a great time to be like me. So, you know, she might not have that time with her kids and that's where you're like.
That's a really good point.
All right. I thought you guys are really on point. I love the thing about the walls because the walls happen. And if you don't address them, they just get higher and thicker.
Right.
And Mo, to your point, you know, it's a thing where, you know, a lot of people want to stay married for the kids. Kids are going to be fine.
Right.
There's no sense in going through life miserable. You know, you want to make it work for the kids, but you got to make it work for you. You've got to be happy with you before you can be happy with anybody else. So you got to make that dynamic work.
Right.
He needs
that's a really good point.
Ultimatum's a tough word, but if it is what it is, it is what it is.
Hey, the bottom line.
Bottom line.
All right. So Matt, hopefully that answered your question. Bottom line, what we're saying is go get some therapy for either your wife or for you guys as a couple. It'll be really helpful for you guys. Okay. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, love the show and truly appreciate all the advice and help. Your podcast always manages to put a smile on my face. I'm a 20-year-old university student from Montreal, Canada, and I have recently given up drinking alcohol due to personal reasons. And I have never been interested in doing any drugs or smoking. That being said, I have no problem being around other people who choose to drink and can have a great time drinking my Coca-Cola. I also just recently broke up with a long-distance girlfriend and don't feel ready to invest in a full-blown-on relationship. Do you think that my choice not to drink will hurt my chances of meeting people or hooking up with girls? Or do you think it would make me seem more threatening? Keep on rocking, Alex. Well, first of all, Coca-Cola is pretty close to a drug, so but I'm not going to preach about that. But what do you guys think?
I don't think he needs to make a big deal about it. Like initially, we just have his drink because I think there is a social barrier that when you're like, oh, you're not drinking, well, have a drink. You know, it's that thing that's there, and it's like I don't think he should address it at first, but I don't think it should be a problem.
If he's super uptight without a drink and not fun and miserable, then it might make a difference. I don't really drink because I would drink if I could, but I'm just like also a pussy. but I'm easy. I can talk to anybody without a drink. So it just, I think, depends on his willingness to be open with or without alcohol.
And listen, buddy, you're 20 years old, so you're probably going to start and quit drinking a bunch of times because you probably just don't know how to drink responsibly yet. But look, if you're in a college atmosphere, you're going to be surrounded by kids who are drinking. And the problem is college kids are too immature to accept you for who you are. They always just want to point the odd man out. So if you're the odd man drinking in those situations, yeah, you're going to have your buddies give you shit and maybe point that out. You know, bring up the good things like, hey, I'll be the DD tonight. And then they'll end up loving you because you'll be the DD. But look, you know, yes, you're probably not going to be having sex with college girls that are drunk and plastered and shit like that. But, yes,
but you don't want to do that.
Yeah, but no, some men do, yeah. You know, but
isn't that the college experience?
That's the college experience. But you could easily find girls in other atmospheres where people aren't just there drinking the whole time. You know, if you're going
to
make
I want to hear what Steve has to say.
Hey, man, I think more power to this cat for not drinking.
Great, yeah.
I think, you know, I've never gotten shit-faced and made great decisions. Right. They always led to bad decisions. So if this kid's going to keep a level head, maintain his health, and go down that road, more power to him. And if that's a roadblock for him to meet a quality human being, then it is what it is. I think he's going to run into like-minded people. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be the greatest person in the world or you're perfect. But birds of a feather will flock together. He will be fine.
Oh, I totally agree.
Do not need alcohol as a crutch. Better have done that.
Yeah. You own it. You so have to own your personality and just like not let that inhibit you.
And as a woman, a guy who is shit-faced isn't the most attractive man
I was just going to say, I was never looking at a guy thinking like, oh, you're so drunk right now. Well, I can't wait to go home with
this.
Like, I know that
guy
wasn't my turn on.
Right.
You know, if he had a drink in his hand, I didn't feel weird having a drink in my hand. Right. That's the only thing that's uncomfortable is like, for me, I don't drink that much. So if the guy I'm with isn't drinking, and then I feel like, oh my God,
that's what I'm saying. Have your drink. Sometimes I drink apple juice at the bar if I don't want to drink. It's just because I like to feel like I'm, you know, you're not
partaking.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to be very specific here. It's the confidence that alcohol gives men that women are attracted to. And that's it. It's
lots of guys who don't need the alcohol confidence. Start working on that for yourself
guys
and you're
who
fine.
Are confident without the alcohol are just as sexy. That's the bottom
right.
Line.
And that's what I was
sexier.
Gonna say. Yeah. The guy who doesn't worry about who's judging him is sexy.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So, Alex, I hope that answers your question. All right. Next one. Hello, ladies and Mo and Steve. He didn't know you'd be here today, but I added that in. I loved your podcast. I was out dancing at a restaurant opening with a couple of lady friends and my cousin. During the middle of one of the sets, I just reached out my hand and snagged this waitress I had been eyeing most of the night as she was cleaning a table and we danced for a little bit. It was a lot of fun and she was totally into it. Okay. And this is a very long one, so I'm going to condense his story after this. So they were out dancing. He snagged a girl. They had a really good time. So they end up leaving and he doesn't get her number. And then he decides to go back the next day, but he can't find this girl. She's nowhere to be seen. And he keeps going back like every once in a while to check in. She's not. Yeah, it was called, this one's called Ghost Woman. That was the subject line. So he knows that she still works there because he talked to one of the other waitresses. So he knows that she's still there because he asked another girl and she said that she does work there. So what should he do so that he doesn't become King Creepoid and freak her out? So how does he get in touch with her without freaking her out and continuously like walking into this bar every night at a restaurant?
If there's one person who has tabs on a hot waitress and a joint, it's the bartender. Okay. And the bartender, his job is to talk to you. Have a drink at the bar. Pull the male bartender aside and be like, oh man, I like the girl that was here. We had a great moment. When does she work next? I want to come in and see her. And the bartender will normally give you that information if you're not a creep.
Right. I agree.
It's good.
Yeah.
Semi. But the problem is he's already gone in there. So it's like if you go in once, that's when you ask because it's the re-showing up that turns you into the creepoid.
Yeah,
so,
especially when women see this happening.
Right, because the other waitress is
returning every single day.
Yeah, the waitresses will talk and they'll be like, this guy's been in here like 5 times. And then, you know, all of a sudden she sees your car in the parking lot. She doesn't want to go into work.
Right,
so try to do it on a first approach. If you've already been there, go back to the same waitress that you talked to the first time who might have her information. Just ask for her phone number or email.
But would you give that out to somebody?
I don't know.
Don't go back as the creep.
Oh, yeah, I'm a bad friend. I'd be like, yeah, here it is.
Make the restaurant your local spot. Make the bar your local spot. So go in there to drink and eat. Go in there with some friends to drink and eat. Just go in there to live, you know, to do your fun thing instead of going to that other restaurant. And then eventually you'll run into her. And then you actually won't be the creep. Everyone around there will get to know you. And then they'll be like, oh,
yeah,
I know
that's
Mike.
That's so much work.
Jeff.
Well, it sounds a little hard up or desperate to me.
You
grabbed her, they started dancing. It was a wonderful time, seemingly. Maybe not so much on her part after thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Since she's dodging work every time.
And maybe she got mono. She's sick. She'll be back when she gets well. You know, who knows? But yeah, he doesn't need to be, you know, going there every single day asking everybody, where the hell is this chick at? Yeah, drop it down with the bartender and then get out of Dodge.
Exactly.
Or frequent the place because you really like it and become a patron.
Yeah. How you scored your lady? Is that how you scored her?
Well, he stalked her for a year.
I know you did.
I worked. It took me a year to get my girl. She said no for a year. And then finally I said,
Steve's like, we're not friends anymore.
Well, listen,
Steve, don't do desperate.
I could get any girl I want back in the day.
So Apparently not.
So the one girl who told me no.
After 6 years, Jesus.
Now look, the one girl that told me no was the girl I wanted.
The one girl.
The one girl that said no is the one I wanted.
Do you want her more though? After that,
oh for
after
sure.
She kept denying you and denying you, and that fire was lit.
She's my girl. You know, too many girls like give it up on the first night.
She's like, fine, I'll do it. I'll be with you. Okay, Zach. I hope that answered your question. And Zach, actually, I noticed is a cartoonist and illustrator. That's what his signature said.
Oh, cute.
I would love to have a cartoon of us drawn.
Oh my God, Zach!
A little note to you, Zachary.
Give me big boobs.
Give all of us big boobs. Okay. The next question.
Give Noah a big set of man boobs.
Exactly.
That's what they call it.
Hi, ladies and Mo. I know one of those topics you hit over and over again is loving yourself first and having the self-confidence as being really sexy. However, I had a question about body hair. I'm a pretty hairy guy.
We have two bald men here waiting to answer this question.
Yeah. I got more body hair than Steve.
I believe that.
But impressive facial hair here.
Exactly.
I have more just on this arm. I'm sure he does over his whole body.
I got a hell of a bush, Joe. I'm sorry for lowering the bar, y'all. Show, please.
Don't worry. You're not lowering the bar. All the time. It's lowered all the time. Okay, so I'm a pretty hairy guy, and it's dark black hair. I have thought about using Nair. Oh, God, horrible. Or going to get at least my back waxed, even worse. But I'm curious to get the female perspective on this one. What should he do?
Oh, I think he should take care of that back hair.
But with Nair or waxing?
I don't know. I don't know how this works. I'm not an expert.
You're pretty strong about this, so you just don't dig the
fur. You know what? I was in Italy, and I have a picture of it.
It was like a stuffed animal
that was like coming out of his shirt, long hair, creeping up his neck.
That's my father.
And it terrified me. And I think, take care of that. Oh,
I know. Like when we were on vacation, when we were younger, me and my sisters were so embarrassed when we would be on the beach. He'd take off his shirt. We're like, take your shirt off. And he had already taken it off. He just had this hair. It was so gross. Yeah. Horrible.
What's he supposed to do? I mean, nair it?
The thing is, a lot of guys struggle with this. And I do feel for them. I know some personally that have struggled with this, Mo.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want to go to the beach, but they won't take their shirt off. It really
just stands. Sweating.
Yeah, it just stands in the way of having fun and loosening up. And laser hair removal, guys.
Yes, I was going to say, on Groupon all the time, there was always a laser hair removal offer.
Yelp it first before you go in.
Yes, for sure.
I am a man that has a ton of body hair, and if it... What men gotta do?
Mo can wear it well.
The only reason I wear it well is because I keep it under control. Okay, I trim it out.
Yes.
I make sure that it's all right. I don't trim my arms out, but the chest. I make sure the back looks good. Like you just.
What do you do for the back? Trim.
Who trims your back?
I just keep it short.
How?
Reach around with scissors?
I feel like a clipper and make sure that I'm not a bush on my back or anything like
that. Wait, let me. I want to feel your back. Hold on.
No,
turn around. Let me see this back.
I am really curious.
Take your shirt off, Mo.
Listen, if you come to the beach, like I invite you every Saturday, then
hardly
you can see me with my shirt off.
I haven't been invited. Am I left out of these emails? Yeah, oh, so rude.
He's inviting me to the beach. You ain't asking these women to the beach? I don't want to see your hairy back.
So what's our
bottom line is, okay,
take care of it.
Don't nair, because that comes back stubbly. Don't wax. You get horrible ingrown hairs. And if you choose to wax, it is severely painful, but it can make it very silky smooth. If you do wax, you have to take care of it properly so that you don't go into the sun immediately after.
It turns into pimples.
Yeah. You have to exfoliate everything constantly after so that the ingrowns don't start popping up. But if you go into the sun or into a pool shortly after you wax, you can get a horrible, horrible rash.
That's too much maintenance.
And it's way too much. I would say laser on Groupon. There's like ones for $60. You go in for 6 sessions and it's not permanent hair removal. It's permanent hair reduction. So you get rid of most of it. And then the rest of it, you trim like what Mo said. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Manscaped. I think Gillette's got a whole new series of manscaping. They have all the hot models go, I like a man with hair on his chest, but not on his back. I like a man with hair.
Those commercials. Oh, I don't want to knock it, but they're bad commercials. We can do so much better for those Gillette people. Because honestly, we can tell these men what to do with their
listen,
hair.
Listen, dude, if you rock the bush, okay, Burt Reynolds rocked the bush for a long time. He got a lot of chicks, okay? So if you rock
that was the 80s. That was the 80s.
Let's just consider the era, yeah.
Yes, but also the thing is, if you are dark skinned, I won't drag this out too long, but if you do have darker skin,
it doesn't work as well because you need to have contrast for the from the hair to the skin so that the laser can recognize it. So if you are going to do a laser, don't go in the sun. Don't get a tan. Don't eat carrots. I know. I was like,
no,
one thing.
Well, you've had laser, obviously.
Try to keep your skin as light as you possibly can.
Did
really?
You do your bush laser?
No, but I'm thinking about it.
Oh, I've, so got an, I've got an everything laser. My armpits, my bikini line, everything. Yeah. I love it.
Wow.
Yeah. Laser's amazing. It's, it doesn't hurt. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of lasers you can get too, but oh, laser has been my savior. I told you about my father. That passes on. So I had to remove all of that. And that's all the questions that I have. I thought we were going to talk a lot longer, but thank you for asking these questions. And hopefully we gave you really good answers to work with. I think we did a great job. And Steve did a phenomenal job.
Pro, by the way.
Yeah, pro. Seriously, you should come back more often on this
is
show.
Is this
I will come back more often, especially if Mo's going to get his bush laser.
Yeah, let's follow Mo's journey as he lasers his bush.
On our Instagram
account.
We're going to
do a 2-for-1, you and me.
Done.
It's the 10-year journey.
So guys, if you want to write in to have us analyze your situation, write into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. We get a lot of emails, so I'm so sorry if we didn't get to yours this week. Hopefully we will get to them this year. We have like hundreds of emails in our mailbox right now. But again, ask@askwomenpodcast.com.
And Steve, where can people find you now?
People can find me at Twitter, Steve Austin BSR, and then check out the Steve Austin Show on podcast1.com and iTunes.
Yeah, listen to Steve's show. You're an amazing interviewer.
It's like, that's all that Kristen was talking about this morning.
She you guys got to come on my shows and solve some of my listeners' problems.
We would love that.
We'll reciprocate. Me and Mo will set it up, have y'all on the show. Would love to. And I enjoyed my time here. Thank y'all for having me. We've been talking about it since we met, we did it.
Yes, we did it. Wonderful. Thanks again for being on the show.
So, guys, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/askwomen. I can ask women podcast. I cannot. Say Ask Women Podcast without the Twitter
weird.
In front of it.
But guys, we will see you next week. Download all new episodes every Thursday, right?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday. Bye.